News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden's son, Hunter, has been indicted in California on 9 federal charges of evading income taxes. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Hunter Biden faces 3 felony and 6 misdemeanor charges. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
It's not just a bare bones tax indictment. It's really a thorough vetting of Hunter Biden's lifestyle from 2017 through 2020.
In Delaware in July, Hunter Biden was prepared to plead guilty to misdemeanor tax charges, but that deal fell apart when a federal judge questioned it. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Biden's attorney has issued a statement saying that based on the facts and the law, if Hunter's last name was anything other than Biden, the charges in Delaware and now California would not have been brought. School officials say no students were killed in the shooting that left 3 people dead and 1 wounded on the University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus. Police say the suspect was an unemployed college professor who was fatally shot by police. UNLV President Keith Whitfield.
We are working on future plans for the university, thinking about how we will be conducting both final exams, which start next week, and how we can best do those to be able to accommodate people and where they may be and how they may feel.
A Texas judge grants a woman the right to have an emergency abortion. CBS's Janet Shamlian says the order applies only to the 31-year-old mother of 2, but it's drawing fire from the Republican state attorney general.
The Texas attorney general's office issued a statement saying her doctor could still be prosecuted if she performs the abortion. It had argued that Cox should not be permitted to get the abortion. It has not said whether it will appeal the decision.
An infant in Kentucky has died and a 6-week-old Missouri child has brain damage from the same kind of bacteria that prompted powdered formula recalls and shortages last year. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says both of the infants consumed formula made by Abbott Nutrition. They say there's no evidence that the infections were caused by problems at Abbott factories.
American food banks are desperately looking for help. More from CBS's Chanel Cole.
Jonah Gensler with the LSA Family Health Service says there's often a gap between what people give and what people actually need.
Don't clean out the back of your pantry. The sardines that are about to go bad, that's not really helpful. Think about the needs of growing families.
Gensler says dairy, fresh produce, and meat are in highest demand.
The ex-Alaska Airlines pilot who tried to cut the plane's engines after telling police that he had been struggling with depression, was sleep deprived, and had taken psychedelic mushrooms, is released from jail. He must avoid any aircraft. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. Today is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. Imperial Japan did a sneak attack, a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. They sunk ships. They killed 2,400, slightly more than 2,400 Americans. Franklin Roosevelt gave an historic speech. This is a day that will live in infamy. The nation was unified. We went to war with Japan. Nazi Germany, for some reason, declared war on us, which was a bad idea for them. And we were at the start of the Second World War, at least our involvement in it. It was a war that ended up in the Pacific with the dropping of atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, in the European theater with the destruction of the Nazi army bombing of cities, and a devastating Holocaust, and the start of a new era called the Pax Americana, the American peace, that's lasted from 1945 until now. Donald Trump is trying to undo it. And one response I want to throw out before I get to our first topic. We got an email from a listener named Pete. Pete would like to testify against Jim Troupas in the fake Electra scheme. Pete set out his reasons, and I agree with Pete. What happened was corrupt, and Pete would be an excellent witness. So, Pete, if you're listening, here's my response. Right now, the fake Electra lawsuit was settled, but it continues against Troupas and Chesbro. If Josh Call, our attorney general, brings criminal charges against all the fake electors and all the people involved, you should definitely contact him. If he does not, you can contact the plaintiff in the civil case, but I have the feeling that after the settlement with the others, that's Exhibit 1, they may not need further testimony, but you certainly can offer your services. You could also offer them to Jack Smith. The problem is, in Washington, Jack Smith has so much evidence and so many witnesses, he may not, he can't include everybody. So, Pete, I really appreciate your zeal in doing this, and I'm with you 100%. Well, a big development in the fake elector matter. A Nevada grand jury just indicted six fake electors who backed Trump in 2020 and falsely said that they were the duly elected electors, and they weren't. This includes the state party Republican chair in Nevada, Michael McDonald. He's been indicted. The state party chair and the vice chair and national committeeman, Jim DeGraffenreid in Nevada. He's been indicted, and four others. The attorney general in Nevada made a very, very fine statement. He said, quote, "I made it clear that I would do everything in my power to defend the institutions of our nation and our state. We cannot allow attacks on our democracy to go unchallenged." Very, very fine statement. Quote from the Attorney General, "I made it clear that I would do everything in my power to defend the institutions of our nation and our state. We cannot allow attacks on our democracy to go unchallenged," end quote. One of the witnesses that's been listed for the criminal case by the Attorney General is Ken Chesbro. Ken Chesbro is from Wisconsin. Ken Chesbro pled guilty in Georgia and agreed to cooperate with Jack Smith and any other prosecution. He's now cooperating in Nevada. Secondly, they were charged, the six fake electors in Nevada were charged with offering a false instrument for filing and uttering a forged instrument. Uttering is a strange word. It's a legal word. When you forge an instrument, it can be counterfeit bill, dollar bill, or $20 bill. It can be anything that's forged. You are uttering that instrument, and these are the two felony counts for which they are charged. Now, let me tell you something. The 10 fake electors in Wisconsin uttered a forged instrument, just like the fake electors in Nevada, fake electors in Michigan, who have also been criminally charged, and the fake electors in Georgia, who were also criminally charged. The fake electors in Wisconsin also offered a false instrument for filing. It's a certification that they were the electors. That was false. They weren't the electors. And they sent it to the National Archives, to the Senate, to all the other recipients of people, by people who wanted that for their files, needed it for their files in the government to certify electors. This came in on 7 states, including New Mexico, which isn't much discussed, but Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, to try to confuse things and to try to get Mike Pence to go along with it. And if he wasn't, they were going to kidnap him. Why do I say that? Because the Secret Service, some of them who were in on this, remember, they quit. They quit, and their depositions have been taken. Said, get in the limousine, Mr. Vice President, for your own safety. They were going to drive him up to Camp David or somewhere, get him out of town, hit the button so that the rear seat couldn't be opened, and keep him away so that if nobody showed up, the Republicans would say, well, the Vice President isn't here to receive the electoral votes, so therefore it's in the House, and just do an end run, the Green Bay sweep, elect Trump, and have the Supreme Court sorted out by the summer. In the meantime, Trump stays in office. That's what went on. That's what went on. And Pence almost went along with it. He claims that it was his Marine Corps son who urged him not to. But the truth of the matter is, he called Dan Quayle, whom he knew. And whatever I may think of Dan Quayle's lack of ability, he at least said, for God's sake, you can't do this. And Pence chickened out. It's not a matter of a moral thing. He chickened out. But here's my question. For identical conduct, these electors are now being prosecuted in Nevada. They're being investigated in Arizona, prosecuted in Michigan, and prosecuted in Georgia. What about Wisconsin? It was the state Republican chairman and vice chairman of Nevada who just gotten prosecuted, who are under indictment. They're going to be going to a trial. There was a state chairman here who did the same thing. There's a U.S. senator who did the same thing. Ron Johnson was in on it. He had the fake electors from Michigan and Wisconsin, had his chief of staff try to palm him off on Trump. That is an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Fitzgerald was in leadership in the state legislature at the time, and he was part of arranging the secret room for them to meet in. That's an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Voss was the speaker at the time. He facilitated the use of the room, and it was kept secret because of directions from Rudy Giuliani and Ken Chesbrough. These are overt acts in furtherance of the conspiracy. Why are we the only state that is not prosecuting the fake electors? And you can say, Matt, that's not true. They're not prosecuting them in Pennsylvania. And why is that? Because in Pennsylvania, they were a little sharper. They went right to the edge, but they did something nobody else did to technically get them off it. They put a certification in the fake certification they sent. This is only being sent in the event that the courts rule that Trump won in Pennsylvania. That's a sneaky legend because they nevertheless sent it in, which they shouldn't have done. And some of them in the Congress who were in on it voted not to take the Pennsylvania electors, but they claim they have a technical defense, and the Attorney General of Pennsylvania looked at it and thought, in light of that in there, I might not be able to get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt in a Pennsylvania jury. So he didn't go forward, but they did in Georgia. They did in Michigan. Now they have done it in Nevada. And there is an investigation ongoing, a criminal investigation in Arizona, which I expect will result in criminal charges. But there's no investigation going on in Wisconsin. There's no grand jury. There's no John Doe. They're letting it be. They're letting sleeping dogs lie, quite literally, because they lied, and they're sleeping dogs. And why is that? It is imperative that Wisconsin do what Michigan did, Nevada did, Georgia did, and prosecute the fake electors. They almost overturned the government. They almost overturned the government. Because if Pence had gotten in that car and the Secret Service whisked him away, or if Pence had looked at it and said, well, I have dueling electors from these seven states, so therefore I declare that it's in doubt, and I turn to the House of Representatives, and each state gets one vote based on the majority party of their delegation. So Wisconsin, even though Biden won, would have cast a vote for Trump. And this isn't right. Somebody's got to say something about this other than me. I'm saying it. My caller is saying it. We need the Attorney General to say it. And real quick. Coming up, the Republican debate, a horror show. Coming up. Stay on the line. I see you. Don't hang up.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now, going right to the lines, do not hang up. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind, Gene?
I'm wondering, how do we get through to the Attorney General? I call probably once a week or once every 2 weeks, and of course they don't have a way you can talk to him directly, but you know that's logical. And I'm not—I don't have email and that type of stuff because I'm not very confident in that type of stuff. But anyway, so I call and I talk to a person. Leave my concerns. Sometimes they let me go right through, leave a message. How do we get through to him to say that this is a crime, one of the worst crimes in the state of Wisconsin that impacts every single one of us, and then the cost to Milwaukee to, you know, go through all the things that they went through paying employees? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I just can't believe it. I don't understand. It would be nice if he could give us a hint. Yeah, I'm looking into it or anything like that, but not a word. How do we get a response? How do we get him to say, well, you know, I don't think I have a case or anything like that? How do we get a response?
Yeah, good point. Very, very good point, Gene. There are two things you could do. One, you could write a letter, snail mail, and it's usually rare that that doesn't get responded to. The same thing, you could go to an event where the Attorney General is going to be and walk up to him respectfully and say, I think you should at least convene a grand jury or a John Doe. And all these other states except Pennsylvania are doing it or investigating it. And I think it's important. And the reason I think it's important is it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again if Trump doesn't get convicted. And now Trump just appealed Judge Tanya Chotkin's decision that he didn't have presidential immunity for committing these crimes. It's a stupid appeal, but it could chew up a couple of months, and that might kick the trial beyond March. You see what he's doing? Everything's going to get appealed until he gets reelected, he thinks, and I don't think he will, and then he pardons himself. This is important. When I say that there's history being made of every second, every day, whether you're asleep or awake, I mean it. Right now, history is being made. And you're going to see a lot more of it on the show today. We're going to discuss it. History is being made. People are going to write PhD theses about what happened today 50 years from now. And your grandkids and your relatives, after the fact, will say, what did you do? What did you do? How could you stop this guy? What did you do? Write a letter, Gene. Have your friends call and write letters. And at some kind of an event, respectfully say, this has got to be prosecuted. We can't be, the geek in the dump tank or something? We're the only state that doesn't prosecute. This is a crime, a very bad crime. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mark, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, echoing what you have so said, I mean, that these guys need to be confronted whenever you run into them in public. I mean, if you run into Robin Voss in public, you got to confront him over this issue. If you run into Scott Fitzgerald, you got to confront him over this issue. If you run into any, Andrew Hitt, Brian Schimming, or any of these fake electors, you question them directly when you run them. Do it politely, don't do it threateningly, and confront them over it, because they committed treason against the United States. I mean, the fact that Donald Trump is still eligible to be on the ballot is just maddening to me, because also in the 14th Amendment, Section 3, I believe it says something about any officer under the United States that has previously taken oath to the United States. So Donald Trump is included in that. So all the judges can't see that as a, I'm just an accountant. That was my career. But I was trained in reading statute and code. So I can actually, suss out some of this stuff. But, I mean, they have to be indicted. They have to be indicted. And these people need to be confronted wherever they go. They need to be uncomfortable wherever they go, because they committed treason, pure and simple, each and every one of them. They said, well, we were fooled. You didn't. You knew darn well that what you were doing was wrong. If you knew, didn't know you were done, what were you doing wrong? Why did you have armed guards? Why didn't you go out in public and say, this is what we were doing? They did it sneakily behind us, try to get behind the scenes and do this stuff. The Capitol was closed to everybody that day except for people on official business. And these people were there engaged in a criminal enterprise against the people of the state of Wisconsin and against the people of the United States.
Yeah, that's powerfully put. I agree with you 100%. And I'll tell you, I had forgotten about the armed guards. That's right. They did it in secret. There's a memo that says, do not let the press know. Don't let anybody you know. And yeah, they did have armed guards. But why did they have armed guards? To shoot somebody? What's that all about? And why isn't this on the up and up? We have open meetings, open records laws in this state. We have open meetings, open records. They did it to be sneaky. And not only that, in street crimes, if a guy robs a bank and he runs away, and on the way he changes his clothes, throws his bank robbery clothes in the bush and puts on something else, when they arrest him, the prosecutor can use that as evidence that he committed the crime, on the theory that a reasonable jury can infer that if a guy is running down the street, throws his clothes in the bush and puts on other clothes, that he's trying to hide something. I mean, that's just common sense. That's just flat out common sense. And so, could not agree more. I could not agree more. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Yeah, I'm interested in a legal strand on this, on that, and I'd be curious what your reaction is. We have these other states that have, where their attorney generals have gone forward with action against these fake electors, and not here with Josh Call and our attorney general. And I'm wondering, Josh Call, when asked about this, he's been very reticent, and I'm just reading aloud from a WKOW piece from back in December where his comments on this are, I'm not going to comment on any potential state actions. Sometimes there's a case that there's a federal investigation and state investigators wait for investigative activity. Sometimes it's a case that they happen in parallel. I'm wondering if part of the reason or a reason, and I don't even know if this is possible or not, that Josh Call may be holding back because part of what our state election or state electors includes is the illegal actions on the part of Senator Ron Johnson. And when you look at adding Ron Johnson, a Republican senator into this whole mix, it opens up the can of worms of who else within Congress on the Republican side was working in furtherance of this January 6th insurrection. So could it be, Matt, that he has been told by Jack Smith or feels because Jack Smith is going forward and he's got this tangent of Ron Johnson, which opens up this, you're just doing it for partisan political reasons, even though clearly Ron Johnson had his hand in this. Do they do that? Do the feds say to the state people, hold off, we want to go ahead with our investigation and we don't want you treading anywhere that may create a problem for us later when we're trying to make the case, because the most important case they have to make is against ex-President Trump. I'd be curious your reaction to that. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, excellent question as always. The answer is this. First of all, Josh Call does not have to charge Ron Johnson. I think he should, but the attorneys general elsewhere that are doing this haven't gone after the Republican congressman. Like Jim Jordan should have been charged in Georgia, and he was not. We're going to come up on some other things. I'm going to further respond to that excellent question when we're back. But coming up, the Republican debate, and Jamal Bowman is censured by the Congress.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News brief. The president's son faces 9 new federal tax-related charges in an investigation going back to the Trump administration. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
It's not just a bare-bones tax indictment. It's really a thorough vetting of Hunter Biden's lifestyle from 2017 through 2020.
After this week's shooting at the University of Las Vegas.
Some students that we talked to and told our producing crews here that they were willing to talk, but they didn't want to come back on campus yet. There's still that trepidation and that fear after such a traumatic event.
Correspondent Omar Villafranca. Police say the suspect had a list of targets, but the 3 faculty members who were killed were not on it. A Texas judge grants one specific woman the right to have an emergency abortion, but Elizabeth Wydra with the Constitutional Accountability Center says
this sets a very strong precedent for people who are looking around and are bewildered after losing the right to choose abortion when the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade.
CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin will spend $6 million to provide free driver's education classes to 15,000 teenagers. The goal is to cut down on reckless driving. It's the first time Wisconsin has spent money on driver's education since 2004. Students who get free or reduced meals at school would qualify. It's one of dozens of bills Governor Evers signed into law Wednesday. Wisconsin is getting $2.5 million to study new Amtrak service in Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire that would connect with Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. Wisconsin is also getting federal grants to support studying expanded service between Milwaukee and Chicago on the existing Hiawatha line, as well as adding a third daily round trip between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities through Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 38. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 55. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely 41. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
There's a new attitude surrounding Carroll University basketball this year as Taylor Jansen leads the men through his first full season as head coach. The Pioneers are celebrating all the wins, and you can catch all the action of every home game right here. Don't miss a moment as Don Brown takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to continue responding to Joe of Madison. First of all, Fannie Willis right now is being accused by the Republicans of, quote, conspiring with Jack Smith by contacting him to coordinate their prosecutions, end quote. One thing you should all understand, everybody should understand, that prosecutors do talk all the time is perfectly appropriate. And a federal prosecutor is not going to tell the state prosecutor not to do something unless they feel it's extremely important. And in the case of Fannie Willis, Fannie Willis is prosecuting Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump. Now, that's a lot bigger than Ron Johnson. And Jack Smith says, don't do it. I'm doing Trump here. None of that. Number two, if the attorney general wants to not do Ron Johnson, Fitzgerald, and Voss because he thinks that that would be too controversial or something, I would not agree. But Fannie Willis is doing Trump himself, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani. The attorney general can then say, okay, he doesn't have to prosecute everybody or anybody he doesn't want to. at least do the 10 electors. And if you say, well, Jack Smith might tell him not to, why didn't Jack Smith tell the Attorney General of Michigan not to? Why did Jack Smith not tell the Attorney General of Nevada not to? The Attorney General of Arizona not to have the investigation? And I get back to, why didn't you tell Fannie Willis, who's not even an Attorney General? She's only a DA of a county. Of a county. Not to prosecute Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani. So I don't think that was it. I see no good reason, to be very honest with you, why Michigan and Nevada and Georgia and potentially now Arizona are prosecuting these people and we're not. On the contrary, if I were in Jack Smith's shoes, I would welcome the firepower. I would welcome the firepower because he's not prosecuting. There were well over 90 fake electors. He can't possibly junk up his case with 90 fake electors as well as Trump. This thing would be tried in 3 years from now. I think he welcomes it because if he didn't welcome it, he would have let these other attorneys general know. Well, there was a Republican debate last night. And it was a bad show. It was one observer who watched it on television, and he was just an average voter, said that it was chaos and staged. Agree with him 100%. It was fake chaos. First of all, this Ramaswamy guy's got to go. This guy is like a spider with eight arms and a pair of scissors at the end of each arm. I mean, this guy did nothing but lie and attack people personally. And he said, for instance, January 6th was an inside job. Well, it was not an inside job. Remember, 1,000 people were arrested. Well over 600 had been tried and convicted. You'd think that one of them might have said, hey, wait a minute, I'm an FBI agent. Give me a break, number one. Number two, and then he holds up a sign that says Nikki equals corrupt. Well, let me tell you something. The internet's going crazy. Some of the funniest things you've ever said where they put up different signs for Nikki is corrupt. And beyond that, all he did is insult and attack, said that Nikki Haley was a fascist. And he cheapens everything he touches. He's sullying the stage. Christie called him an obnoxious blowhard. And he forthrightly said, Christie said, Trump is a dictator, a bully, and unfit. But when I looked at the focus groups afterwards who had seen the debate, nobody was for Christie. In other words, right now, even if Trump is not the nominee, it's apparently not popular in the Republican Party to attack Trump. Haley took most of the attacks. Christie was the only guy that took on Trump, called him an angry and bitter man. And that's exactly right. An angry and bitter man. Call him vengeful, paranoid. What he is he's a Russian agent. I'll say that again. Christie didn't say it that way. I say that he has early stage argumentative dementia. Christie did say he's unfit, mentally unfit. That's true. Here's how I come down. DeSantis didn't do anything at all. And this was a fake debate. It was among four people who have no chance of being the party's nominee. And Ramaswamy, I think, is just lashing out, lying, and taking revenge. I have no idea why, number one. Number two, maybe Haley's looking for a job in the cabinet. Christie's never going to get a job in the cabinet. It's a waste of time to watch these debates. But if anything can succeed in weakening Trump with respect to Biden, it's good to have this kind of dialogue. Go to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
A train is on my mind. Nikki Haley, in her closing statement, mentioned Ukraine once. That's the only thing. They did not have a question on Ukraine. I thought that's malpractice not to do that. But, you know, the bum rap on Ukraine is that they're in a stalemate. And that's not true. They've driven the Russian fleet off the field, and they're now shipping grain out to the world because along the coast, you know, so that they've got the Romania and so forth protecting them, coastal waters. But they've intimidated the Russian fleet back into harbor. So that's a huge success. And if Elon Musk hadn't interrupted their attacks on the Russian fleet, you know, they'd probably be further along. And here's the, remember when they crashed the dam in upriver from Kherson on the Dnieper River? Well, that dam was built in 1956. In 1957, they built a waterway to Crimea, and they desperately need that water. And so when they recaptured that area, they got vital water coming from the Dnieper River on that canal coming through. That needs to be recaptured by the Ukrainian army. And then you cut Crimea off and it falls like a ripe fruit eventually. You know, it's kind of like Stalingrad in reverse.
Right. Excellent. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Yeah. So the other thing, Cameron mentioned that Europe is actually paying slightly more than the U.S. And he said, well, that's okay. It's in our neighborhood. We're going to do that. And so I think we've got to.
Yeah, I saw Cameron is the former prime minister of the U.K. He's now their foreign secretary. I saw his interview. He was great. Stands tall with Ukraine. As far as the topic of Ukraine being cropped up at this thing, Bob, let me say this. I don't think these four people are going to have anything to do with funding or not funding Ukraine. These people are footnotes in history. Ukraine is magnificent, and here is the status. Right now, the Senate voted down on procedural grounds all the Republicans' standalone foreign aid for Ukraine because they want the border involved. Just before I went on the air, there was a story that said that this James Lankford of Oklahoma, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, she's the so-called independent, and Chris Murphy, one of the negotiators for the Democrats, were all huddling. This is going to get done. This is a $100-some-odd billion bill. Ukraine, Israel, and the border. And Biden has already signaled that he will make border asylum changes, and he should. And we've recommended it on this show and a lot of shows. The question is, are there some people waiting for what's called H.R. 2, which is a House bill on immigration that's basically everything the Republicans want that has no chance of passing in either house? Or are they going to get real? I have reason to believe they are going to get real, because I think in the Senate, Lankford has come out as a moderate. He, even though he's Oklahoma Republican, he wants Ukraine aid. Mitch McConnell wants Ukraine aid. The Democrats do. Sinema does. And there's a handful of Republican senators who are going, they're sort of like House members, you know, people like Hawley and Cotton and Cruz and people like that. Now, it's true they have unanimous consent. It's true they have a filibuster. But all of that can be overcome by 9 Republican votes. And the final say on that, and I was persuaded by it, was that Mitch McConnell really wants Ukraine aid. So I have the feeling that they are going to vote for something that has more asylum changes than Biden wants, but nowhere near as many as the Republicans want. And I'm going to repeat what I said yesterday in a different context. In law and in politics, any settlement is a good settlement if both parties are unhappy with it. That is what I think is going to happen on Ukraine aid. Israel aid is another matter. That's going to pass as well. And it has to pass, as Joe Biden said in his speech the other day, it has to pass. Yeah, look, here's the deal. They know that if they don't provide Ukraine aid and Ukraine falls, and the Ukrainians are the one bleeding and dying over this, no GIs, what's going to happen is the Ruskies then will go into Moldova. Then they'll either go into parts of Romania or Poland, which is staging areas for sending aid to Ukraine. And Article 5 will then be triggered of NATO, and we'll have to have American GIs going over there, and that we do not want. Nick of Lake Mills, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Nick?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Not to beat a dead horse with the electors, but what is to prevent them in the next election from trying it again? Because you know what's going to happen is if they don't get indicted or at least subpoenaed and it gets looked into, they're going to do it again, and then they're going to say, well, if it was a crime, why didn't you prosecute it the first time around? You know, like, right. It's one of those things where if you don't do something about it, it's just accepted as norm. So they'll do it again and then maybe take it a step further the next time around. I'll take your comments off there. I'm just a little frustrated that these electors they're still untouched.
So. Right. Well, they're the only ones that are getting away with it. And it sort of reminds me, there's a highway, a tollway in Connecticut, and people were running, you know, the automatic lane where you're supposed to throw something in, they were running it. One day, the highway patrol put up a sign. It said, don't run it. We really mean it this time. Well, people still ran it. Look, here's the deal. If you do not prosecute, you are tacitly saying it's okay, or at least we won't prosecute in the future. And if they do it again in 2024, and you know they will, they may not use the same electors, but you know they will. And in 2028, and they get caught again, what's going to happen is they are exactly going to say that. A guy's going to get in front of the jury and said, we did it in 2024. If it's such a big deal, why are you getting us now? That's exactly what they will say. That's exactly what they will say. And here, there's plenty of cover. Fannie Willis is going after Trump himself, Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, and fake electors, for Pete's sake. In Michigan, they're going after the fake electors. In Nevada, they're going after fake electors. In Arizona, a criminal grand jury is looking at the fake electors. We're the only ones where they go, okay, well, what, you have immunity? No, you don't have immunity in this state. Same laws, uttering a forged instrument, causing something, interfering with Congress and causing something to be filed as false. You can't continue to do that. You can't continue to do that. Okay, I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I will get you. Coming up, tell you what, coming up, the access to the classified documents issue in Florida may be the undoing of Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Do not hang up. I will get to you right away.
The Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gary of Sussex. What's on your mind today, Gary of Sussex?
All right. Matt, I need your interpretation of this. Last night I was listening to Mike and Dom, and they had this lawyer on. His name is Jeff, and I can't remember what institution he's working on, but he's I think he was working a gerrymandering case or whatever. He said that he believes that if they end up passing this gerrymandering thing and redistricting, that he said all of the senators and the assembly people, even though that they're elected, because they were elected illegally, that he believes that they can throw everybody out of office and have to start all over again and get reelected. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's insane. That sounds like something that the Democrats are trying to do with some of the Republicans. So they're doing the same thing. Now, is that possible that they could do that? And then the other question that he said was, he said when they bring this gerrymandering case to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that they're going to win, and then that's it. And then Mike asked them, well, can't the Republicans take it to the United States Supreme Court? And he said no, because that's not a national thing. This is a state thing, and it's not all federal, he said. It's not a federal case. And I disagree, and I'm not a lawyer, but there's no way in the world that they can make everybody rerun to get their seats back, you know, and take them out of office for, you know, before their term is up. And I believe that the Republicans will take it to the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to rule. I can figure that they're conservative, then they'll probably rule, you know, our way. But what's your opinion on that, since you are a lawyer?
Yeah, good question. And just so everybody knows, Gary is a principal conservative, and I encourage him to call into the show every once in a while. Appreciate it. I'll say two things. First of all, with regard to the opinion of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it'll be whatever they say. They do have the right. You know, under the Wisconsin Constitution, that's where they function. They're an equal, co-equal branch of government with the legislature and the governor. All three are equal. None of them are above the other. So if the Wisconsin Supreme Court decides that these gerrymandered districts violate the contiguous clause in the Constitution, which they do. I mean, look, and I was amazed how many there are that are not contiguous. They're little tufts and clumps of stuff, of voters, and you have to leave your district and drive through somebody else's district, and they get to another one. I mean, it's clearly not contiguous. And secondly, they took up the issue of separation of powers. And what the legislature did before was pass it on to a Republican-dominated Supreme Court, which went their way, and the governor didn't have a chance to veto it, and he should. I think it is possible. I have no crystal ball, but I think it's possible they'll rule that there have to be contiguous districts. In other words, the districts under the Constitution, it has to touch each other. You don't have you don't say, okay, here's a ward in Milwaukee and a ward in Stevens Point. That's your district. Now, they're not that far apart, but there are people who have wards in Fitchburg in Dane County, and then a ward away from Fitchburg and away from anything around Fitchburg. I think they're going to find, I would find if I were on that court, that that's not contiguous. And there's a second requirement, that they be compact as possible along municipal lines, whether it's county, whether it's city, town, whatever. That's going to involve a real shakeup, a real shakeup. Now, what remedy do they impose when they find that? Remedy is a term of art, and that's something different. The remedy absolutely could be, look, you were elected in a non-contiguous district. That was illegal under the Wisconsin Constitution. Now there's a contiguous district that you live in, and you have to run again, even in the state Senate, even if you were elected for 4 years and you're only 2 years into it. Now, as to your second question, the U.S. Supreme Court is the 800-pound gorilla over all courts. If the Republicans want to appeal it, they can. They have to file what's called a petition for review. It's not an appeal. It's a petition for review. And they have to ask the Supreme Court's permission, the U.S. Supreme Court. The first thing that they're required to do in a petition for review, and I have filed petitions for review, and I have opposed petitions for review for various clients. They have to say, what is the basis of federal jurisdiction? And that's a term of art. Federal jurisdiction is a term of art. The U.S. Supreme Court is not supposed to take, for instance, a case about a car accident and somebody is fighting about who went through the red light. Not supposed to do that. However, the Supreme Court is the ultimate decider, and in its history, it has taken cases that I and other lawyers think don't have federal questions in them, and they fail to take some that do have federal questions in them. So they're human. That can happen. But in this case, I think what would happen is, can the Republicans make a case that there's some racial impact? And I don't think they can. That's not what's going on here. Then can they say there's some kind of due process impact? And one of the very smart things the Wisconsin Supreme Court said was, we have two constitutions, the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. The U.S. Constitution prevails. Anytime there's a conflict, the U.S. Constitution prevails. But in this case, that they have to be contiguous and separation of powers in Wisconsin does not pose a federal issue. That is something that does not provide federal jurisdiction. And if I were arguing that case, I'd make that point. I'm sure they will make that point. And but the one thing they can do by petitioning for review is to hold it up and screw it up so it gets beyond the 2024 election, because we're bumping up against it. But then by 2026, it'll be resolved. And even if a state senator gets elected in 2024 in a non-contiguous district, he's out of luck. She's out of luck. They're going to have to run again. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you're elected in an illegal district under the state constitution, why should you get the benefit of it? So there you have it. Excellent question. Excellent question. And frankly, there's a lot of people, a lot of lawyers. And the lawyer you were talking about is probably Jeff Mandel. Jeff Mandel I didn't listen to the show when he was interviewed, but Jeff Mandel has a national reputation. He's a very fine lawyer. He's an expert, national expert. And what he said is accurate, for the reasons that I've just described. I'll tell you what, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and when we get back, Marjorie Taylor Greene is attacking Mike Johnson over the National Defense Authorization Act. What's that all about?
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Already facing gun charges in Delaware, the president's son Hunter Biden now also faces 9 counts in a new federal indictment involving taxes. Conviction on all could mean as much as 17 years in prison. CBS News Justice Department reporter Robert Legarry.
Special counsel David Weiss alleges that Hunter Biden engaged in a 4-year